This morning, we'd like to share with us a message we have titled, Never Give Up, Never Give Up. We live in a time where people are throwing in the towel because we have no strength to endure. There's no grace. We're not tapping into the grace of God to endure, to wait for the outcome of our expectations, the outcome of the promises of God. Never give up on God. Never give up on yourself. Never give up on your destiny. Praise the Lord. My key scripture today is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Philippians 3, 13 to 15. Apostle Paul said to us, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind does not necessarily mean successes, but also failures. The trials and the errors. What is frustration? Frustration is when you try something and it never works. Paul is saying we should forget all of those things. Because what's behind you is irrelevant compared to what's ahead of you. Hallelujah. You've heard it said many times. Your best years are ahead of you. It's so true. If you dare look ahead, if you dare press forward, if you dare forget your pains, forget the disappointments of the past. This is one of the reasons also why the gospel is given to us. The gospel is given to us to empower our destiny. The gospel is given to us to guarantee our future in Christ, regardless of our past, regardless of the experiences we have been through. You are looking at somebody who had an ugly past, who had an ugly experience. But in spite of that, because my focus alone is on Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because my focus is on Christ Jesus, that is why I can stand before you today. And if you too will dare to focus on Christ, what a great adventure lies ahead of you. Praise the Lord. The shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his death on the cross of Calvary, separated you and I from our ugly, evil, and unfortunate past. If Jesus had not shed his blood, if he had not suffered, if he had not died, then we can still be glued to the past. Hallelujah. When you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, praise the Lord. In your Bible, there's a blank page. That page signifies a demarcation. Jesus Christ is the reality of life. Is somebody listening to me? Because if Jesus had not come, we won't be living a reality. Old Testament was not a reality. It was a shadow. And many still live in that shadow. Many still run from their shadow. Many are still terrified by their shadows. I watched a clip of a little girl who suddenly discovered her shadow. I'm sure you've seen it. And she was running and crying. She was terrified. by a shadow. If you are that kind of a person, terrified by your past, it's because you have not grown. It's because you have not matured. It's because you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and your personal Savior. Satan is a specialist in poking and terrifying us with guilt, with regret of what could have been. If you are in today, why bother yourself about what could have been? And pursue what should be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus was shed and drawn so that the past will not intrude into the future that God has for you and I. Hallelujah. Death is in the past. Sickness is in the past. Calamities in the past. The bloodline has been drawn so that you can have a glorious future. So that you can have laughter and joy on a daily basis. The children of Israel were hidden behind the blood. A new dawn was about to come for them. They were hidden away from the past of slavery, from the past of penury, from the past of suffering. The same for you and I, if we can exercise our faith. If that blood, if you've not crossed over, then you continue to live in the past and be terrified. Hallelujah. Anybody who keeps looking back will never make strides. Praise the Lord. If you keep looking back, you can't make any impact in your destiny. Somebody disappointed you. Good for them. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Let me tell you something. Your destiny is not perpetually tied to somebody. It's tied to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is also a guarantee of a new life different from the past. Jesus shed his blood. He died. And he rose again to give us newness of hope. Praise the Lord. Newness of life, that you can live a resurrected life, not a defeated life. Maybe you have been living a defeated life. Today, the Lord brings you across. He brings you over. He brings you from the valley to the mountaintop. If you believe that, shout a good amen. You see, the important thing, in my view, is that we open ourselves to what God has in store. We don't, many Christians, we have not availed ourselves of what God has in store for us. Even when we say we are born again, we do not explore. We do not press in into what God has made available. A lot of born again Christians don't know what God has provided for them. Let me show you a scripture. Today, I strongly believe God wants us to be encouraged. Hallelujah. If you look at 2 Corinthians, I'm somebody that I like to open scriptures and show you so that you can see it and not just what I say. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I had not seen, hear, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things, that are freely given unto us of God. We are born again, but we don't know what God has given to you. And when you don't know, Satan will trick you. When you don't know, Satan will poke you with regret. Satan will poke you with guilt. Satan will make you keep looking back instead of looking forward to what God has prepared and what God has promised. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that the promises of God are greater than any experiences you might have had in the past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, open yourself to God. You see, you need to stop reminiscing. Stop rehearsing your failures. Stop rehearsing your mistakes. Stop rehearsing the sins of your past. Some of us, yes, sometimes we carry the product of our sin, but that does not make us to be a sinner. Oh, let me say that again. Are you ready for this? Every sin has a consequence. Now, because I'm living the consequences of that sin, say for example, a young girl who suddenly became pregnant out of wedlock now has the baby. Praise the Lord. Right? You are carrying the baby, the product of that experience. Praise the Lord. But does that make you who you used to be after Jesus has delivered you? That's what I'm talking about. You know? I might carry the consequences of my sin, but that doesn't make me a sinner anymore. That doesn't make me a failure anymore. Praise the Lord. That doesn't say I'm going to lose. That doesn't make me a loser. And that doesn't make that product of that experience a loser either. In fact, God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Not many noble, not many wise. The foolish things of this world. The things that the world will reject. That will say, no, this is not good enough. Maybe they are telling you, you are not good enough. In the sight of God, you are actually perfect. You are perfect for the reason why you were made. You are perfect for the reason why God created you. Yes, you may have fallen, but now you are standing. You are perfect for the reason God made you. Stop reminiscing on what you missed. Yes, we missed opportunities. I stand before you to say it. I missed several opportunities. But guess what? I don't care about those opportunities anymore. All I care about is the one God is presenting before me presently. So that I don't miss the one that is coming. I don't miss the one that is about to be. I don't miss the one that I'm looking at by looking back. Tell your neighbor, stop looking back. Tell your neighbor again, stop looking back. What you have missed cannot be compared to what has been prepared for you. Hallelujah. Go and ask Brother Job. He missed 7 of his children. He missed all his properties, all his cattle and everything. But when God was going to show up for him, he gave him double. You will have double for your trouble. I say you will have double for your trouble. I say you will have double for your trouble. In Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18 to 19, for I reckon, watch this, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What are you going through? What are your pains? What are your disappointments? They cannot be compared to what God is about to release in your life. They cannot be compared to the blessing that God has attached your name to. Hallelujah. Stop crying over spilled milk. Stop crying over what you missed. Stop crying over what you lost. Thank God Jesus found you. Saul was worried about his father's animals. And God was worried, not worried, but God was looking for Saul. The moment God was able to find Saul, Saul was able to find what he lost. Hallelujah. Let God find you. Let God see you where he expects you to be. And guess what? All those things you think you have lost, they will find their way back to you. I declare it so in the name that is above every other name, the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, watch this, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creature waited for, the world is waiting. Not for what you used to be. Did you get me? The world does not care about who you used to be. Amen. Whether you used to be successful, it does not matter. Whether you used to be a failure, it does not matter. What matters now is who you become. Is who you become. Is what you become. Praise the Lord. The world is waiting for you to happen. God is waiting for you to happen. God is not waiting for you to used to be. The God we serve does not stop at one glory. He moves from one step of glory to another step of glory, to another step of glory, and then to another step of glory, and then to another step of glory, and then to another step of glory. He moved from glory to glory. I see you rising today, moving from your level to the level of glory, to another level of glory. Every day, may a new step of glory show up for you. May a new step of glory show up in your destiny. May a new step of glory show up in your family, that you will climb, that you will go up. I see you going up. If you are that person, shout a good amen. What you used to be and what you are redeemed to become, they are two different things. Pursue what you are redeemed to become. Hallelujah. Don't cry on what you used to be. Praise God. In Christ, everything is wonderful. In Christ, everything is glorious. One thing is certain in Christ, there is hope. And anywhere hope is alive, things are possible. Praise the Lord. If you are not in Christ, you don't have hope. Believe me, if you are not in Christ, the only thing you will experience from time to time is crisis. But when you get into Christ, every crisis comes to an end. Hallelujah. Even when crisis wants to come up, Christ will silence them. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Has God promised you something? And what God has promised you, in spite of what God has promised you, you are going through pains. It's like endless delay. God said, be fruitful. I claim it. And I thank God for my fruitfulness. But I can't see it happen. I can't see it happen. I'm groaning every day. I'm almost becoming envious. Sometimes I cross into the arena of envy when I see my peers going and galloping ahead. They are enjoying those promises of God. And I'm like, God, what about me? They are not even doing what I'm doing. They are not even worshiping you like I do. What about me? Brethren, let me tell you something. Yes, you may be going through that pain. You may be experiencing that delay. That doesn't deny the promises of God. Remember what we said this morning. My experiences does not change who God is. Hallelujah. That promise will still come to pass. God is going to see to it. I say God is going to see to it. Hallelujah. You see, Satan taunts us with guilt. Satan says to you, you don't deserve it. Satan says, you have committed abortion. Satan says, you used to worship idols. The blessing is not for people like you. Satan pokes you with those kind of guilt. Satan tells you, you are not perfect. God is looking for perfect people. Then he will remind you the scripture that his eyes go to and fro, seeking those who are perfect before him. You are not perfect. He twists the scriptures. Remember? Satan twists God's promises. He twists God's instructions. And if you are not careful, you start believing it. Has somebody lied to you before? Or lied against you before? And they lie in your face. They keep on telling you that you did it when you knew that you did not do it. Before you know it, you start thinking and saying, maybe I did it and I did not know. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is the gimmick of the devil. Hallelujah. That is the lie of the devil. You don't need to fall for it. He says you are not perfect, but the blood says you have been made perfect. Oh, that's a good place to say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know why Satan does all those things? You know, when somebody cannot control the good thing that is about to happen to you, they can demoralize you not to expect it, right? They can make you doubt so that you can start looking elsewhere. You understand what I'm trying to say? Huh? Even Christian radios applaud IVF, in vitro fertilization, right? But then, those who walk by faith in Christ, they wait on him. Hallelujah. You get suggestions. Why wait on God when you can do this? Why wait on God when you can do that? Hallelujah. Now, I applaud doctors. I have no problem with doctors. But the point is, when the hand of another man contributes to making a baby in your womb, there's no guarantee what that child will become. Hello, everybody's silent. Did you have IVF? Praise the Lord. You know, you can't have IVF and then come and testify. What is your testimony? Oh, that the Lord did it. No. Go and thank the doctor. Did you hear me? Go and give praise to the doctor, not to God. We know people who have waited 15 years 20 years, they did nothing. They said, Lord, if you could do it for such and such a person, we stand on your word. We hold on to your promises. And we know that you will bless us. You will make us fruitful. And God always does it. You know what I found out? Those who may do IVF. Now, I'm not hating you. I'm just preaching. You know, speaking the word. Some of those in vitro babies, in the process, some of them can die. But the miracle of God never dies. I remember our Father in the Lord sharing a testimony of a woman passing menopause means no ovulation. You can't have a baby, according to science. This particular one was not married and waited and waited. No man. And then this man came up, who was a widower, and said, how now? And the lady said, how where? You like me. I can't even have a baby. And the man said, thank God. You are the person I'm looking for. I have children already, so don't worry. And they got married. Not long after. I can't remember whether it was twins or triplets that God gave that woman. How do you explain that? That is what is called a testimony. That one is a testimony. That is not a testimony. Are you getting me? Because it's not man-made. When man makes it, don't ascribe it to God. You can't make God better than who he is. God is comfortable as he is. Oh, well, let me say God did it so that he can be glorified. When you know, you didn't, it was no faith at all. It was the power of your money and the influence of people. May God have mercy. Hallelujah. Satan wants you to lose faith on the promises of God. Hallelujah. He knows he has no power over your future. So he wants to stop you in your tracks. So as not to attract that future, not to believe in that future, not to receive that future. He wants you to start doubting. He wants you to start doubting God. If I can stop him doubting, or if I can start him doubting, then I can stop him from receiving. That will not be your story. I say that will not be your story. Satan does not want you to look ahead. Because the moment you can't look ahead, you can't move forward. Looking ahead is what makes you move forward. Praise the Lord. Having something in view, especially when you have the promises of God in view, it's a great motivation to wake up in the morning. It's a great motivation to run after that promises. It's a great motivation to give God praise and glory moment by moment all through the day. Praise the Lord. Somebody say with me, say Satan. Oh, come on, say it. Say it like you are really angry. Say Satan, I am free from you. I am free from guilt. I am able by the grace of God to finish well and to finish strong. In the name of Jesus, you will finish well. I say you will finish well and you will finish strong. In the mighty name of Jesus. Some people will tell you what their reality is. And their reality has no good news in it. Their reality is their disappointments. Disappointments upon disappointments. Failure upon failure. Pain upon pain. Frustration upon frustration. Let me tell you something. Your reality is not where you came from. Your reality is not what you are going through. Your reality is where God is taking you to.
Did you hear me?
No, you did. You didn't. If you heard me, you will understand what I'm saying. Your reality is not your experience. Your reality is not what you are going through now. Your reality is not the pain you are feeling right now. Your reality is the promise of God. Your reality is where God is taking you to. Can you say good amen? Oh, you were admitted in hospital. Your reality is not sickness. Your reality is not failure. Your reality is not disease. Your reality is not denial. Oh, maybe you lost your job. That's not your reality. Oh, they have not promoted you since you started work in that place. That is not your reality. Hallelujah. Oh, I've been married for XYZ years and I'm waiting on God. And I've not had a baby. It seems as if there's no hope for me. That is not your reality. Oh, you've carried other people's children. And you say, well, maybe I'm just going to be an aunt all my life. That is not your reality. Hallelujah. Your reality is fruitfulness. Your reality is advancement. Your reality is progress. Your reality is elevation. Your reality is promotion. Your reality is breakthrough. Your reality is joy. Your reality is more than enough. Your reality is divine advancement. If you believe it, shout a good amen. Oh, you've not had a baby. That doesn't mean you will not have a baby. It's just you've not had it yet. Don't complain, well, I'm not pregnant. I don't think I can be. They say I can't be pregnant. Change your language. I'm not pregnant yet. What does yet say? Yeah, it says expectation. Yet says, I've not given up hope. Praise the Lord. Go and show me all those who gave up. And go and show me those who have not given up. And weigh them and compare them. And see the ones that God manifested himself in their lives. It is those who never gave up. You can't give up on God. You can't give up on his promises. You can't give up on yourself. I don't know who this message is for this morning. I don't know who God wants to encourage this morning. I don't know who God wants to change your thinking. When you look at yourself, stop looking at a defeated person. Everybody has a story. Everybody has had a disappointment. Do you want to know mine? I don't care. I don't care what Satan is trying to do. My attention is on Jesus. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. The Bible says those who come to God must know that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God cannot lie. God is not a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. God never makes promises he won't keep. You can point it back to him. Lord, this is what you... In case you are losing assurance, take those promises back to him and let him reassure you again. Isn't that what we do? And at God's own time, he makes all things beautiful. And I thought it was never going to happen. But that day, People think it was her who just said, I will give him back to you. No, she was moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost motivated her. The Holy Ghost gave her a revelation of the prayer to say, because God was ready to show up. As God showed up for her, God will show up for you. You see, your case might not be a baby issue, but it doesn't matter whatever it is. Have your expectation been aborted? God will reimpregnate you with a new one. I say God will reimpregnate you with a new one. You will have a reason to wake up in the morning. You will have reason to laugh when you wake up in the morning. You have reason for springs to be in your steps when you wake up in the morning. Hallelujah. In your job, God will single you out. I say in your job, God will single you out. In your office, God will single you out. People will wonder, what kind of a person are you? One blessing from God erases multitudes of failures. Just one blessing. You suddenly forget that you are in pain at all. And people will ask you, how are you? You know, like Nigerian people will say, ah, I thank Baba God, though. I thank the Lord. Like my wife and I, we used to say, we thank Baba, thank God. We thank Baba, thank God. You too, you will thank Baba, thank God. I say you too, you will thank Baba, thank God. You will have reason to thank Baba, thank God. Maybe you are here, you don't know what Baba means. Baba means Father. Abba, Father. Baba means Daddy. Jesus Christ, our God, our King, our Father, is picking up your file this week. I say he's picking up your file this week. He's giving attention to your situation this week. That is why don't give up before he answers your prayers. I say don't give up before God shows up for you. If you believe it, shout a good amen. Let your motivation day by day be the promises of God. Let the promises of God motivate you. When you remember the promises of God, give God thanks. Have you found out already? Half of the month now, we said this month we are going to be giving God thanks. All the while, you see how difficult it is? You notice? Huh? You notice how difficult it is? Just to keep on giving God thanks. Because your mind is saying, what about? That's the human nature right there. That is the area where we have not totally trusted him. The Bible says in everything, give thanks. Be careful for nothing. But by prayer and supplication, let your request be made with what? Thanksgiving. The one who called for those things which are not. You can call those things which are not with thanksgiving. You can call your future with thanksgiving. You can call your destiny with appreciation. Lord, I thank you for my promotion. I thank you for my joy. I thank you for my healing. I thank you for my new home. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children's school fees. I thank you, whatever it is. You've not seen it. Appreciating God in advance is an evidence of faith. Did you hear me? You appreciate God in advance. It means you have faith in Him to bring it to pass. Lord, I thank you for the completion of Project Wisdom Embassy. It's because I trust Him to bring it to pass. May God accelerate your blessing. I say, may God accelerate your blessing. May God accelerate your blessing. I want you to do something for me. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Shout in case they are sleeping. Neighbor, leave yesterday alone. Say it again. Maybe they don't understand. Say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. Leave yesterday alone. It has gone. Don't try to bring it back. You know, There are times when we are worshiping God. Let me say, for example, the choir sang a song now. And we feel the strong presence of God. Amen? Today. And next week, they want to sing the same song. Hello? You know what I'm trying to say? As if it's that song that brought the presence of God. No, it wasn't that song. Amen? You can sing it a million times. If the Holy Spirit does not descend on it, it's useless. So the experiences of last week, don't pray to God to make it your experience this week. You don't get it. I don't care how wonderful the experiences of last week was. Pray for a new experience, a better experience. I want to be bold enough to make a statement. With God, there's no best. Hello? Because the moment you think you have enjoyed the best, it brings another one better than the best. The moment you enjoy the one that is better than the best, it brings another one that is excellent. The moment you enjoy the excellent and you think, wow, then God brings another one that makes you wow, wow. So what am I trying to tell you is, don't rest on the experiences you have had before. It does not matter how glorious. It does not matter how beautiful. There is something greater. There is something better yet to be unfolded in your life. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. There is a better one with God. Go and ask the angels. 1 minute they see God manifest and they're like, holy. Then they see another manifestation. Because there's no other word bigger than holy. They have to see another holy. If there's another word, the angels will have said it. The Bible says before his throne, they do what? They cry, holy, holy, holy. God is too greater. It's too big for any man's imagination. That's why don't envy anybody thinking they have the best. Their best cannot be compared to your own best. Are you listening to me? You see, you don't want somebody else's best where you won't have peace. When it's like taking somebody else's thing, you can't have peace. You understand what I'm saying? But when it is your own, there is peace. May God give you your own. I will give you peace in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. By faith in what? In the promises of God. That was what Abraham did. We don't have time. Go home, read Galatians chapter 3. Read it all and understand. There are processes there that you and I can follow. The day I knelt down on one knee and asked my wife to marry me and put a ring on that finger, I gave her a promise. Right? A promise to live by. Except she's a greedy woman. Will another man come and say, how now? She will flash the ring and say, you are too late. I have been promised and I'm holding on to this promise. You live by the promise. Oh my days. You live by that promise and say no to any other suitor. That's the same way we live by the promise that God has made to us. So when Satan comes and say, "How now?" you say, "Look at it. This is what God promised me, and I'm holding on to it." Why? Because God cannot lie. Because God is not a man that he should lie. I know you, Satan. You are the father of lies. There's no bigger guarantee than the promises of God. Hold on to it. Like somebody said, if you are holding on to it and you are tired, wrap it around yourself. Amen? Wrap it around yourself. You know, your child can hold you, and there's a point where they get tired. Then you hold them. Isn't that right? Maybe you've been holding on to God. It seems like you are fainting. Look unto him and say, "Lord, carry me. Take me through." And I bet you, you will not know how you will cross over. Because in the sand, it won't be your footprint. It will be his own. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. How wish we had time. Let me read this scripture and I'm going to close. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 to 18. For when God made promise to Abraham, listen to this, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, "Surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." And so, after, watch this, after he, Abraham, had patiently what? Endured. He did not give up. Tell your neighbor, you cannot give up. He obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, who have crossed over and lay hold upon the hope set before us. Hold on to that hope, the hope of that promise. You see, now, listen to me. This is a reason. This is the proof and the reason why you can begin to thank God even before anything happens. You don't understand it. Because he who promised cannot lie. So you have a proof that you can thank him ahead of what he has promised. Because he can't lie, he has to deliver it. Amen. So you don't bug yourself with doubt. You don't bug yourself by listening to the lies of Satan. You don't bug yourself by looking at somebody else. You only focus on the one who promised, and his promise is a promise maker and is a promise keeper. What Jesus promised when he died, he had to wake up to come and bring it to pass. Remember, he didn't trust anybody else. Nobody else was better to be the custodian of the will. Amen? You know, when somebody dies, they make somebody a custodian, right? And you know how many custodians take custody of the... Jesus knew that no man could. So he had to wake up and say, you know what? I will distribute it myself. So you can be guaranteed that soon is going to be your turn. Oh, you didn't hear me. I say soon is going to be your turn. I say it's going to be your turn very soon. I say it's going to be your turn very soon. In Jesus' mighty name.